Welcome to The Sales Hustle, the only no BS podcast where we bring you the real, raw, uncut experiences from sales change makers across various industries. The only place where you can get what you're looking for to up your sales game. Today's episode is brought to you by SalesCast. SalesCast helps sales professionals transform the relationship building process and win their dream clients. I'm your host, Colin Mitchell. All right. What is happening, sales hustlers? Welcome to another episode. Today, I've got Lori Richardson, who's the CEO and president at Score More Sales. Lori spent 15 years in tech, fintech, and distribution sales before opening her own sales strategy firm, Score More Sales. In 2015, she created Women in Sales Pros, a community for more women in sales and sales leadership. Lori, welcome to Sales Hustle. How are you?
Thank you, Colin. It's really great to be here.
Yeah, thanks so much for hopping on. Appreciate it. Before we get into a topic that I know you love talking about, creating better sales teams and culture, and just give us the short version of your sales story.
I was a teacher, and in my early 20s, became a single mom and couldn't afford to be a teacher anymore. So I looked into technology sales. I'd grown up in a family-run business, and I had a feeling that I knew how to sell. So I wasn't intimidated at all, and got an opportunity in tech at a time when it was a booming industry, and have never looked back.
Wow, okay. So what made you think that you had a knack for sales?
You know, it's funny. I had been around my grandmother, who was my role model. I didn't know it at the time, but she had women's clothing stores. She had their upper scale. So they competed in Seattle, where I grew up. They competed with Nordstrom, basically, and very service-minded, service-oriented, high fashion, you know, fashion shows, the whole nine yards. And she did a lot with word of mouth selling, word of mouth referrals, and a lot of value selling. She never discounted, for example. And so I learned some things very early on that didn't make a whole lot of sense at the time. But when I got into my first sales role, it certainly started to come back to me. And I just felt like I could sell.
Wow. Okay. Well, how much were these, did these dresses and outfits cost?
Oh, they were higher end. So she sold things like 4-piece wardrobe or outfits that were all coordinated. And, it wasn't, it wasn't each item wasn't made by hand, certainly, but it was a higher end of what you would buy, in the stores, comparable to what a higher end store like a Nordstrom would charge.
Interesting. Okay. And so when you got into tech, what were you selling there?
So I was selling computers, personal computers, the first PCs that were on the market, the first software. Grew up, not far from Microsoft, and used to sell, working with corporate accounts, sold thousands of computers and peripherals, printers, hard drives that used to be very small.
Yeah.
and just, tons and tons of technology getting out to the business community.
Great. Okay. And so tell me, how did you get so passionate about, sales recruiting, sales culture, and women in sales?
Yeah. So around 2015, I was working with a large telecommunications firm, and we were going to have a big meeting where all of the managers showed up from up and down the East Coast. Now, I had only worked with each of their offices individually, and I'd never seen them in one place together. When everybody showed up and I walked into this big training room, there were about 90 people, and there were two women out of the whole group. And I thought, this is crazy. It was 2015 or so. And I just thought, why aren't there women in these roles? What's the deal? So I just started doing a lot of research. First, I understood more about their company and kind of the mindset there. And I also just started learning about the fact that there were not a lot of female candidates, and then women don't get promoted as well. And it just became kind of a big interest of mine. And I did research and I worked with different researchers, and we've just come up with all sorts of things and started consulting with companies on helping them find, attract, hire, retain, and promote more women in sales. And I have a book coming out in July about that.
Oh, that's fantastic. What's the name of the book?
It's called She Sells.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. And so, I mean, have you started to see more of a shift in this area where people are being a little bit more conscious about, having more diverse, sales teams and promoting more women? Or do you feel like there's still a lot of work that needs to be done?
There's definitely a lot of work to be done. One of the biggest problems is that because of the pandemic, a lot of women left the workforce. And if you were a woman in sales and you had a quota hanging over your head, and then you had to homeschool your kids and you had to do, this and that and continue everything else that you do as a parent, I know some women that left sales and got into, maybe customer care or another department where they didn't have such a, monthly commitment or quarterly commitment. So we lost some women that way, but also there's still a bad rap about sales. It needs a PR agent, I think.
Yeah.
Don't you think so?
That's a tall order.
It is.
I mean, I don't know a PR agent out there that can handle that task.
It would be a big agency,
The line. Yeah. I mean, people are still, putting lipstick on their job title to make it undercover that they're actually in sales.
Or they'll say, well, I'm just doing it until I go to grad school, or something like that.
Yeah. Or they mumble it in front of, other people.
Exactly.
There's at least the circles that I think you are in, and I think we know a lot of the same people and follow a lot of the same people as well. And we have tons of mutual friends on LinkedIn and stuff like that. There's a lot of people that are doing things right? Are trying to do their part to, give the profession a better perception from others. There's still a lot of old school, bad habits. I mean, when I first got into sales 11 years ago, I was taught everything wrong about how to sell, and I had to go out on my own to find something that felt more right and in line with me as a person. It was very treating people transactionally, and it was all about my commission and pretty much nothing else.
Right. Yeah. And that's such a, single view of selling. I believe that sales is a really admirable profession. And if you don't have someone that can sell in your company, as a founder, that things won't happen unless you have a way to turn your great ideas and products and services into currency. And so we've seen great, beautifully made products fail. We've seen through the pandemic, we've seen all sorts of services close, restaurants and shops close. I mean, ultimately it's because they didn't figure out a way to pivot and grow revenue. They had more expenses than revenue, and it wasn't worth it. So it's such a key role, and it's a great profession. Plus, for people that get into sales, you have not only the opportunity to have a really great income. Money is not everything, but money does provide for a lot of options for you. And the other thing is that you have flexibility in a sales role, unlike most anything else.
Yeah. I want to go back for a second, right? Because you said you got into sales when you were a teacher, and I've heard quite a few stories of teachers going into sales and do extremely well. So I'm curious of the link there. But the question I have is so you became a single mom and you basically got into sales to be able to provide for your family.
Yeah.
What would you tell maybe other women that are in that sort of position? Maybe they've left their job because of COVID, or maybe they're finding that the income that they're making isn't what they'd like it to be. How can they get into sales? What sort of resources or tips do you have for them?
Yeah, it's a matter of thinking about what kinds of skills you need in sales. And generally speaking, you need to be very coachable. You need to have a very positive mindset. You need to have a real will to succeed. And if you have some of those foundational elements, a lot of skills can be taught to you. That's why people in the service industries, like that came from hotels, for example, and restaurants. I also was a server at a Greek restaurant part-time when I was also a teacher. Those are, mm-hmm. we've hired people from those areas as well. And, but you still, it's not for everybody. Not everyone can sell. I also believe in using assessment tools to evaluate, you know, how successful someone might be. But you can do all that. You can find those things out. And it's definitely something to pursue. There's so many different ways online and through Clubhouse, different shows and all sorts of podcasts where you can learn more about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's an abundance of resources, right? So finding the right ones is key. But there's so many great people putting out, you know, good content, you know, whether it's on LinkedIn or Clubhouse or podcasts like this or yours, where they can learn the sort of skills and things that they need to be successful in sales.
And you know what the best thing is right now, because of the pandemic, as we're ending it, hopefully, there are more opportunities that are virtual than ever. There are so many companies that will hire a virtual salesperson. So you can literally learn and work, you know, from home. And that didn't happen a couple of years ago. So it's a wonderful time to consider sales.
Yeah. How do you think that has helped or benefited, you know, maybe women that are trying to get into sales?
Well, there's counterbalances. I mean, they're predominantly women are caregivers, so it's been a really tough time for the parents. If you're not a parent, and you, male or female, being able to work remotely, most people found a productivity boost, as well as, you know, eliminating that nasty commute that many of us have that live outside of big cities. You're in LA, I'm outside of Boston. I mean, you know, do you want to drive for 2 hours each way or use that 3-4 hours, you know, for your health? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, so many people are taking advantage of that extra time to invest in themselves, you know, personally or exercise or, you know, whatever sort of practice that they now have that they didn't have time to do before to be a better version of themselves in their sales role.
Yeah. And there are people, some people that will never go back to, you know, even 3 days a week in an office, I believe.
And what, I mean, so let's like flip the lens here a little bit, right? And look at it from maybe sales leader, you know, lens.
Yeah.
You know, how can a sales leader create a great sales culture with kind of this mix of in-office and virtual teams?
Yeah, as a sales leader, optimally, what I would like to see as a leader is I'd like to get my team together periodically, maybe quarterly, depends how big your team is. If some people are closer to the office, you know, they didn't all move away like a lot of people did. It depends on the company. But having people in person once in a while, I think, is really valuable. And you can get a lot accomplished in terms of training and coaching and just building culture among the team. So I like a blended approach, and I wouldn't be opposed in the right circumstances to people coming in a couple of days a week. I just think that, and I don't know of anyone that's doing 5 days a week yet, but I know that there are a lot of people that are really eager to get their people back to normal, you know, back to the old 5 day a week deal. And that's just not going to work in the companies that I've seen.
Yeah. Now, if they're being more productive virtually, why would they be so gung ho on wanting them back to the office? That makes no sense.
Yeah. I mean, I knew of a company that, you know, the salespeople punch in with a time clock and they took lunch at one specific time of the day. and they couldn't use their cell phones while they're at work.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. That's, you know, pre-pandemic.
That so, is micromanaging at a whole nother level.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know for a fact, but I would bet that they saw huge productivity gains among their reps. And I'm curious to see what happens as they go forward. If they end up with some option for remote work.
Or huge turnover. They're like, we could.
They have some of that too.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so let's so what sort of things are you seeing like around recruiting and building sales teams and hiring new people in, you know, different markets they don't have experience with? You know, what are you seeing in this new environment where, you know, people aren't limited to hiring just in their local area?
Yeah, it's a real gift when you can recruit from anywhere and you're not stuck with whoever's showing up locally. So I love that. For a long time, for many, many years, we always hired based on our gut feel, and we'd ask questions, you know, then it progressed to people doing role plays and doing assignments and things like that. But I do believe that it's hard to tell if someone is going to be successful in sales because some of the characteristics don't necessarily show up in an interview. So I have been pleased to see more ways to help kind of suss that out and help people to hire better initially, because the cost of a bad sales hire is so huge, as you probably know, and you can lose so much ground in terms of developing sales opportunities by having someone. Somebody told me a story the other day of a salesperson that just lied, you know, that just, he was working remotely and just didn't do anything about what he said he'd do. And they you figure it out in about 90 days. So
but that's so costly. Costly, right?
Yeah. So that's there, you know, two ways you can assess for it and find a great fit, or you can just wait and see how they do down the road. But that can be costly. I would say it's probably 6 months that it would take to figure that out too.
Figure out that they're just watching Netflix and playing video games all day.
That might be 90 days, yeah. But yeah,
or working just enough, or working just enough to not get found out.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, this goes on even in the office. People are, you know, trolling social media, or you know, back in the you know, a little bit, you know, I don't know, years ago, people would just, you know, dial into the, they would dial just random numbers, friends or movie times, or, you know, to find out what time it is, just to increase their phone time. Like, I mean, there's always going to be some bad apples.
Right.
You know?
But that's why hire for commitment, desire, motivation, outlook, all those things.
Yeah. And so you mentioned using assessment tools. Is there any assessment tools that you recommend for, you know, finding these sort of rock star candidates that everybody hopes for?
Yeah, I recommend the process that we use at Score More Sales, actually. So happy to talk to anybody about that. They can check us out on the web, learn more about that.
Absolutely.
But a lot of them are not good because they're personality based, and what we found is that the top salespeople and the worst salespeople often have similar personalities.
You're kidding. Like what?
No. You know, people are looking for people that are outgoing and gregarious, you know, and I don't know what else they do in these tests, but personality is not the way to select salespeople. It's probably it's a good way to see how people in a team relate. So there's some value in personality assessments, just not to know whether someone can sell and will sell. So it's like having an athlete who's very talented doesn't mean they're going to perform during the game, right? So you have to figure out, you have to find ways to make sure that that's going to happen.
Yeah, no, understood. Yeah. So the personality tests are definitely helpful to see, you know, if they're a good culture fit for a team or compliment other people on the team, but not necessarily a good criteria to decide, like, can this person sell or not?
Right. Exactly. And that's always been tricky about sales, because it's only in the sales role that you have to deal with things like rejection And, you know, you deal with some uncertainty. If I'm in finance, I'm not uncertain about my future. You know, if I follow the rules and do what I'm told, you know, I have a salary and I can get a bonus based on certain things. But sales is, you know, can be a roller coaster. And so you have to have the right, foundation for that.
Yeah. It's a unique human that wants or can deal with the level of rejection that people do in sales on a regular basis.
Yeah. And even things like the need to be liked. You know, if you have too much of that and you want everybody to be your friend, it's hard to sell, because when I'm in a sales role, I'm going to need, if you say, you know, call me on Tuesday, I'm ready to make a decision, and I call you and I don't reach you, someone who wants to be friends will be like, oh, I don't want to bug Colin. You know, he told me to call him on Tuesday, but, you know, I'll wait. He'll probably call me back. But if I don't have this need to be liked, more of an attitude of being respected, then I'll call you on Wednesday and say, you know, we were going to talk on Tuesday. I want to make sure that we caught up. And I don't have that issue there are a lot of people, because we're human beings,
yeah,
that have those kinds of things.
How hard is it for somebody to break out of that?
Well, it's easier if you hire someone that has it, that's strong in these areas. And if they're weak in them, if they're weak in a lot of different areas, then it's going to be really tough. But if they're just weak in a few areas, like the need to be liked, I mean, you can talk to someone and coach them around being respected rather than being liked. I mean, I'm liked by my friends. I don't need to be liked by my customers, right? Mm-hmm. But I'd like to be respected by my customers. And by the way, if my customers respect me, they probably are going to like me too. But that's not a deal breaker for me.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. And because sometimes, I mean, the best people in sales are going to tell the customer what they need to tell them, and not just what they think they need to, they want to tell them to be liked, right? Or just call it a yes man or yes woman, right?
Exactly.
That's not going to get you very far in sales. Cause I mean, the best way to build trust with your prospect is to actually push back and actually challenge them a little bit.
Yeah. Help them. Help them in some way. Don't just yes them. You're right.
Yeah. Lori, thanks so much for coming on today. Why don't you tell all the sales hustlers listening just anything that you want us to include in the show notes, or any final thoughts, if you want to tell them about your podcast or where they can find the book or anything else that's going on in your world.
Yeah, I'm really proud of the podcast Conversations with Women in Sales. It's all interviews with women in various roles in the sales process. And my book, She Sells, those are all found through womensalespros.com. And the podcast is right there as well.
Fantastic. We'll drop those links in the show notes for you, sales hustlers. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please write us a review, share the show with your friends. And as always, we're listening for your feedback.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Sales Hustle. Are you a sales professional looking to take your sales career to the next level? If the answer is yes, then I want you to go over to salescast.co. Check us out, and if you feel that you are ready, set up a time to talk with me and my co-founder, Chris. I'm your host, Colin Mitchell, and if you enjoyed this episode, feel free to leave us a review and share the podcast with your friends.